From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes a message entitled Lessons in Prayer from the Transcendent Greatness of God, part of this series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook, by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Coming In, Going Out. The text is Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 6. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The blessings of the law are not canceled. Jesus confirmed the promise when he bore the penalty. If I keep the commands of my Lord, I may appropriate this promise without question. This day I will come in to my house without fear of evil tidings, and I will come into my closet, expecting to hear good news from my Lord. I will not be afraid to come in unto myself by self-examination, nor to come into my affairs by a diligent inspection of my business. I have a good deal of work to do indoors within my own soul. Oh, for a blessing upon it all, the blessing of the Lord Jesus, who has promised to abide with me. I must also go out. Timidity makes me wish that I could stay within doors and never go into the sinful world again. But I must go out in my calling, and I must go out that I may be helpful to my brethren and useful to the ungodly. I must be a defender of the faith and an assailant of evil. Oh, for a blessing upon my going out this day! Lord, let me go where thou leadest, on thy errands, under thy command, and in the power of thy Spirit. Lord Jesus, turn in with me and be my guest, and then walk out with me, and cause my heart to burn while thou speakest with me by the way. If your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use, or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. In the beloved words of the Lord's Prayer, the Lord Jesus Christ set forth the leading features of all true prayer. Dr. Cairns is explaining what is meant when we pray the opening words, Our Father, which art in heaven. In addition to reminding us of the place of God's dwelling, these words tell us much about the character of our God. He is the transcendent God, eternally existing apart from all He has created, yet vitally active in it. This teaches us a number of lessons about God that we must keep in mind as we pray. Now to conclude this message, Lessons in Prayer from the Transcendent Greatness of God, here is Dr. Cairns.
There's so many things in this life that we look on and they're just the loose ends of incomplete actions. We don't understand them. Could we but look from God's side, let me tell you, the picture would be complete. He's utterly, absolutely, totally sovereign. Jesus is saying when you pray, keep that in your mind. Keep that in your mind. It is one of the great strengths, one of the great sustainers of God's people when they pray, when they're passing through the deep waters of this life's experience. When every prop is kicked away, when they don't know what is happening, when they have got to say, like Jacob, all these things are against me. When they have got to say, what on earth is going on? I can't understand. And I don't know that I can endure much more. It's one of the great strengths that's open to God's people, that they can come to a throne. Where sits the God of glory, who is working all things after the counsel of His own will? And it is a tremendous source of peace just to confess, Lord, I do not know what is happening. I cannot work out all the details. I cannot understand the purpose of God. But I know it's the purpose of my Father that is working out. That's why Paul could say, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Does that mean to say a Christian feels great when he loses his child? No, it doesn't. Does it mean to say he feels wonderful when some great tragedy overtakes his home or his family or his business or his body? No, it doesn't mean that at all. But it means that in the midst of all those perplexities, he can come and he can say, this is not what the critic tells me, a meaningless thing. This is one of those threads I'm looking at from the back side of the picture. But from God's side, it's a thread in place, forming part of a pattern that will bring everlasting glory to God and everlasting good to me. All things are working together. It's not meaningless. And all things are working together for good to God's people. Why? Because the purpose that works them out is the purpose of our Father. Our Father is the one who is in heaven. As Daniel 4 tells us, the heavens rule. That's the meaning of God being in heaven. The heavens rule. Daniel 4, 26 tells us. What does that mean? The previous verse gives you an equivalent expression. The Most High ruleth in the kingdoms of men, and giveth it to whomsoever He will. Later on in that chapter, verse 34, the Most High that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. We read, the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. None can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Why? Because as Daniel 4:37 tells us, he is the King of heaven. But remember this, all his ways are truth, and his ways judgment. All his ways are truth. They are the ways of him who is our Father. Now Jesus says, when you pray, get this in your mind. Remember the words of God through Isaiah the prophet? In chapter 14 and verse 24, and this is in a beautiful setting because it's against the background of the wickedness and the rebellion of the king of Babylon, and probably, as many commentators think, the very words of Satan himself put into the mouth of the king of Babylon. But God says of himself, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. We come to pray. Oftentimes, well, we should pray, of course, in good times as well as bad times. Christians should be praying every single day and indeed constantly through the day. Pray without ceasing. We should be ever in contact with our God. But very often when we pray, we're praying when we're surrounded by great darkness. We're surrounded by many challenges and perplexities. We come to pray when we have come to the end of human resources, human wisdom, human ability. Our understanding just can't grapple with so many of the things that face us. Under those circumstances, we come to pray, and Jesus says, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven. Lay hold of the sovereignty of God, and it will be a strength to you. It will be a comfort to you. It will give you peace in the midst of great turmoil. Lay hold of the utter, absolute, eternal, unchangeable sovereignty of your God. Let me mention one other thing. When Jesus tells us this, pray our Father which art in heaven, he's also saying, not only lay hold of the sovereignty of God, but remember your Father's majestic holiness. When you pray, remember your coming to the Holy God. I say that because in heaven reminds me of Isaiah 57 and 15. Thus saith the high and lofty one which inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. There's our Father in heaven. But listen to this. I dwell in the high and holy place, and with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite ones. God says, I dwell in heaven, but I also dwell on earth in the hearts of those who are smitten with the sense of their sin, who in the light of my holiness are contrite and humble. I dwell with them. You see, it is of the utmost importance when we come to meet with our God and we say, Our Father which art in heaven, we recognize we're coming to the Holy God. One of the great crimes of Israel was they, to use the words of the prophet, they made God serve with their sins. In other words, they came to God, they went through all the trappings of their worship, and they came with all their sins, and their attitude was, well, God will just have to take us as he finds us, and he'll just have to put up with our sins. Well, God does not put up with people's sins. He says, you remember, my name is holy, and I dwell in the high and the lofty place. I inhabit eternity. And I only dwell in the hearts of those who, recognizing my holiness, humbly, contritely, and in the fear of God, turn from their sins. We need to learn humility. We need to learn the fear of God. You remember what Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 2? Be not rash with thy mouth. Let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. Why? Listen, for God is in heaven and thou upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. One of the greatest prayer warriors who ever lived was Abraham. God spoke with Abraham, and Abraham with God. He interceded with God for the cities of the plain. You remember how he pleaded that God would spare them. So much so, he came right down. If there are only 10 righteous people in those cities of the plain, will you spare the whole lot? God answered, I'll do it. But as Abraham prayed, listen to how he prayed. This is the friend of God. This is the man with such intimacy with God. But he said, behold, now I have taken to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. As the Church of Jesus Christ has lost the vision of the holiness of God, it has lost power in prayer. There was a time when this nation felt the power of churches meeting to pray. There was a time when in my country, in the United Kingdom, the nation was moved when men of God got together to pray. That is hardly true anymore. Has God changed? No, he hasn't. But I'll tell you what has changed. And it's this. There has been an almost total loss of the sense of the holiness of God. Churches make God serve with their sins. What is comfortable to us? Well, God will just surely he's our Father. He put up with it. He'll accept it. But no, he doesn't. He forgives our sins. Thank God he does. He's the God of all mercy and grace. He forgives sin. The forgiveness of sin always follows confession, a contrite heart, and that in turn always follows a perception of the holiness of God. Would you know the closeness and the fellowship of God not only dwelling in heaven, but dwelling with you? Do you want to know that reality of the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, dwelling in close intimacy and fellowship with you from day to day? Do you want to know that? Then when you pray, Our Father which art in heaven, remember the holiness of God. Let that sense, that realization of the holiness of God so penetrate and permeate your being that it will change your entire outlook, as undoubtedly it will, and give you a desire well expressed by the saintly Robert Murray McShane. O God, make me as holy as it is possible for a saved sinner to be. When you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven. And when you say those words, lay hold on the sovereignty of God. Prostrate yourself before the holiness of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.